Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner, and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
You guys with us, alhamdulillah, we're happy to be here again on another week of Roots and another week of programming and another week of just being a part of the community and another week of just life, right? I mean, COVID, subhanAllah, is just kind of like surging again in the US. So before we even start our lesson, just wanted to share a moment of dua and prayer with everybody who's affected by it recently. Even just like the past like 2-3 days, we found out that like people that we know personally have been diagnosed with COVID and are suffering from it. There are peoples who are, you know, friends of family and family of friends who are basically diagnosed with the infection, and they're in the ICU or they're being given treatment for it. And so, you know, whoever is in whatever situation in life and you're being affected by it, whether it's financial or health wise or emotionally, whatever it may be, just know that we're sincerely making dua that Allah passes this test by, and we come out of this, you know, better than we did when we entered it. There's always a reason why these kind of moments happen with people and moments happen with humanity, why Allah tests people like this. Allah has tested humanity before with things that are even worse than what we're going through right now, you know. And there's always reasoning behind why, you know, Allah puts us through these trials and tribulations, and whether we know them or not, that's not the question. The real important point to remember is that there's always this kind of silver lining in any sort of disposition that Allah gives you or me or our families or whoever it may be. And so our job when it comes to approaching trials and tribulations is accepting that this is the qadr of Allah, that this is something that is out of your hands. And it almost humbles you a little bit, right? It almost kind of brings you back full circle to realize that you and I are not really in control of anything. We are mere just facilitators of our lives and, you know, people that we care about and the small things that we do with our time and our energy. And that's just the way that the world works, right? So Allahu A'lam, may Allah relieve anybody who's being affected by this this test and trial, inshallah. So today we're now on the 5th episode of the 5 charity series, where we talk a little bit about the importance of giving and the importance of the idea of being charitable, not only with your money, but with your time and, you know, your energy and your resources and anything else that, you know, we've been blessed with. And today's episode is going to tackle something that is, without it, you cannot give charity, in my opinion. And actually, in the opinion of a lot of people that have learned and have been important to the cause of Islam, and, you know, anybody who has literally understood or even kind of appreciated Islam to a certain extent understands and appreciates this principle that we're going to be talking about today. And that topic that we're going to be talking about today is the topic of ikhlas, the topic of sincerity, the topic of pure intentions and pure will when it comes to doing something. And so the first thing I want to actually ask everybody, I'm going to actually take this off for a second, is in one word, here we go, in one word, describe the feeling that giving in sincerity gives you. So when you give in charity sincerely, what one word do you feel? How do you feel emotionally when you give to something sincerely? When maybe it was privately done, maybe it was done without other people knowing, maybe it was done behind closed doors, maybe it was something that people don't really know about. So what feeling does it give you when you give something sincerely? What feeling does that bring about to you? So inshallah, if everyone could reflect and answer that question, that would kind of help us a little bit in terms of kind of finding out the general reflective nature of this topic itself. So somebody says humble, somebody says protection from harm. Okay, very good. That's actually really interesting. And anyone else who wants to kind of answer the pinned question at the bottom in one word, describe the feeling that giving insincerity gives you. And so, you know, this idea of giving publicly versus giving privately, I think all of us have been exposed to a certain extent of both of them, right? A lot of people have witnessed people giving charity in front of other people, right? I have been witness to a lot of fundraisers in my life where people, you know, the speaker at the top of the stage is asking who wants to give $5,000 for the sake of Allah and who wants to give $10,000 to feed, you know, this amount of people, or who wants to give $100 to build a masjid here or whatever it is. And you see people raising their hands, right? Hands flying up in the air, and people are getting motivated and people are getting really into it and they're vibing really with each other and they're feeling good about everything. But then at the same time, there are people who refuse to raise their hand and give publicly. Why? Because they don't want to participate in the idea that their name is attached to charity, right? Like, I don't want to be known as a generous person, because if I'm known as a generous person, then I'm not doing it properly. You know, somebody, I actually had a really interesting conversation with somebody. I remember when I used to live in Tennessee, and we knew him as an extremely generous person in the community. We loved him, right? Because we were always like, you know, we were the youth program that really benefited from his generosity, and he would always spot us whenever we needed something. And I remember going to him one day and having a dinner with him, and I had a really sincere conversation with him. And I said, you know, how do you feel? Like, it must be interesting to know that, like, you are so valued, not only for like your resources, but also just for as a human being, people love you so much. And people know you as generous. Like, I've heard, you know, statements about this person where, you know, people say that, like, if you go to him, there's no chance that he will ever reject you in terms of giving to you. And I asked him, how do you feel about that? And he actually says, a part of me doesn't like it. He actually said, a part of me does not like it. And I asked him, I said, that's really interesting, because most people would love to leave a legacy of being generous, or most people would love to leave a legacy of being giving or kind or whatever it may be. And this person, he said, I actually sometimes don't like it. And I said, why? And he said, because if people know me for being generous, then they praise me for it and my intention gets skewed. I would rather not be known to be generous and give privately, right? I would rather be known to be generous privately with people and not be known to be generous around the community. And that's what he said to me. He said, I would rather not be known to be generous. And that was really interesting to me. And it was really profound to me, because, you know, people, we like attention, right? We like attention. Human beings love attention. I remember, you know, there people who are experts in like psychology and neurology and people who study psychology and all these different things, you know, they study that there are actually literal chemicals that are released in the brain when we as human beings receive attention. And this is why, you know, when Instagram, I don't know if you guys remember this, but Instagram released this article, or somebody released an article from Instagram saying that, like, they may take away the like feature. Like, they may take away the ability for you to double tap someone's post and like it. And the community was like at an uproar. And you have to think about it, like, what's the only reason why people like that feature is because they like that people like them, right? Like, people can like you. Like, I can scroll through somebody's post and be like, wow, mashallah, that's a cool post. And I could just actually avoid double tapping it and still like it in my heart. But human beings tend to be a part of the group who, when people show us that they like us, we really enjoy it, right? And so it's always interesting to see that we as human beings, like Amal just mentioned, we love validation, right? We like being validated for what we do, right? We like being notified that, like, oh, I'm doing something that people like. But when it comes to things like giving, charity, worship, acts of worship, what should our intention really be when it comes to doing things like that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually says in the Quran, there's actually a piece of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the tail end of the chapter, the second chapter of the Quran, Allah actually says, إِن تُبُدُوا صَدَقَتِي فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. He says, to give charity publicly is good. To give charity publicly is good, because charity at the end of the day is charity, right? Like, giving something is good. No one's ever going to say that giving in charity is bad, right? So Allah says that. He says that indeed giving charity in publicly is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But wa in tukhfuha wa tu'tuha al-fuqara'a fa huwa khayrun lakum. But to give to the poor privately is better for you. Okay, it's really interesting. Like, this verse in the Quran is phrased very interestingly, because Allah says in the beginning that giving publicly is good all around. Okay, it's good all around. No one's going to deny that giving publicly is good, or doing good deeds, that the public see is good. This is why, you know, like people film themselves doing this or doing that to motivate people. There's a lot of benefit to doing that, right? That there are moments of donation, there's moments of goodness that people engage in, especially now in the social media era, where, you know, you're just encouraging other people to do good. And that's totally fine because it boosts others, you know, morale. It encourages other people to do good. If you guys have ever been at a fundraiser where people are just raising their hand one after the other, they actually do this because it encourages other people to follow in those footsteps, right? I mean, if you think about it to an extent, even the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for the public eye, right? Like you read the seerah, you see you hear these stories from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are for public consumption. We view these stories, we hear these stories, we read the stories, so we ourselves can get motivated. We learn from his example, we try to emulate his tradition, and we try to be a person like he was. But we always say about pious people, people who are truly connected to Allah, that their best deeds are the ones that are done privately. Their best deeds are the ones that are done privately. So Allah actually says that giving in public is good, but when it comes to giving privately to people who need it, for you, it's better, the giver. For you, the giver, it's better to give privately. So Allah now switches up the language a little bit, that giving publicly is good for general human beings, but for you, the giver, giving privately is better for you. And so you as a believer want to make sure that your deeds privately are better than they are when they're in public. And this is kind of go back to saying, tying kind of like putting a bow on top of it, that doing deeds publicly is not bad. Doing good deeds publicly is not bad. But if we are to have deeds publicized, we got to make sure that the private ones that we do have even more beauty to them than the ones that we do in public. So if we're praying really sincerely in public, you know, we're reciting and we're really into it, you got to make sure that your private salah is as beautiful or if not more, right? So there's always importance when it comes to that, okay? And we'll talk a little bit about why these moments are important, because, you know, there's actually a hadith from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he mentions that there will be a day that every person will be scrambling for shade. Okay, every person will be scrambling around for shade. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says that on that day, there will only be 7 types of people who will be shaded by Allah's shade on a day in which there is none. Okay, so on a day, and sometimes here, you know, we kind of linguistically understand the metaphor of the word shade. It means kind of like mercy, right? Ease, in a midst of hardship. And so the Prophet says that on that day in which there is no shade except his shade, Allah's shade, 7 people will be shaded. And the Prophet ﷺ, he goes on to list 7 categories of people. And one of the categories of people that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions is a person who gives so sincerely that his right hand or his other hand does not know what the other hand is given. Okay, the exact wording is that a person who practices charity so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. That, you know, even your own body, and obviously this is impossible for us to kind of understand physically, because obviously if your left hand gives it, you neurologically and you, in terms of your mind, you know that you gave it. But the objective of sincerity is that you are so sincere with what you do that even your left hand does not know what the right hand has given. So if the right hand gives $10 in charity, your left hand does not even know about it. And also another big benefit of this narration is that we should not remember or hold to account every good deed that we did, right? And we go around talking about it, okay? Like we go around talking about everything that we did. Oh, hey, man, did you see me? Like I was out there and they really needed my help. So I just like donated like $100 for me. $100 for me is like nothing, man. It's like really nothing. It's not that big of a deal. So I just gave it a little bit. It's the least that I could do, right? And it's almost like, you know, we call this like a subtle, like a humble brag. Like when people call you like, okay, man, like humble brag, right? Like, mashallah, we get it, bro. You're a good person. Like a believer, a true believer should not be seeking that sort of validation. A true believer should not be seeking that sort of validation, because a true believer's validation ultimately lies with Allah. That if you know you did well and you know you did something beautifully, that you don't need validation from people. You don't need validation from human beings to tell you that like, oh, wow. Look at that person, like mashallah, like they're so generous. oh my God, they're so giving. Oh my God, they're so devout to their religion. It's amazing, right? I want to be like them one day. I want to be like her one day. And when we hear that, those are words that are good. They're good words. But in reality, when we hear them, it changes us. It changes us as people. Because when we hear that stuff, we start to think to ourselves like, wow, like I am a good person. I am an awesome person, right? Like I should be praised like this. That is when sincerity is dropped. And that moment where you think that people need you is when your sincerity is dropped. Because, you know, in Islam, another thing about charity or giving and charities that's really beautiful is that we don't believe that people need us, right? Like we don't believe that like people need our charity. In fact, we need people's dua when we give, right? And this is why if you ever kind of talk to anybody who is frequent in giving charity, they always say when they give charity, just make dua. Just make dua. That's it. Just make dua for me and my family. How can we ever repay you? You don't need to repay me. You don't need to repay me. All you need to do is make dua for me, because your dua for me is much more worth it for me than my charity is for you. And so like their sincerity is very, very beautiful, right? And so, you know, Imam Bukhari, he actually writes in his collection of ahadith from the life of the Prophet that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said one time that the reward of deeds depends upon its intentions. The reward of deeds is dependent upon its intention, right? Because there are so many moments, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have kind of witnessed this, that there is a moment in which you want to do something good, but life happens, you're not able to do it. And there is another moment in which you actually intend to do something bad, and for some reason, Allah stops you from doing that. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he says that every deed is rewarded in accordance to its intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, right? And every person will get the reward according to what he or she has intended. So it's not just about the action itself. You know, that's very important for us to remember, because sometimes we human beings, we get very caught up in the visuals, right? Wow, that person looks like they pray a lot. Wow, that person looks like they give a lot in charity. Wow, that person looks like they look amazing in public, right? That person treats their family so well out in public. But the things that we oftentimes miss is the things that are done behind the scenes. You know, I always tell people about this stuff that, you know, like when you see like an imam, right, like a local imam, and I always respected this about our imams. You know, and our imams, you know, oftentimes get a lot of hate and a lot of flack because like they're seen leading prayers and teaching some classes. That's it. And so they're like, oh, like we shouldn't pay this guy that much money, right? We should just kind of like, he's doing a fi sabilillah anyway, right? So what's the point of him? This guy probably is a zahid. He doesn't need that much money anyway. Probably lives in like a half bedroom apartment. It's all good, right? Even though he has like 5 kids, it's fine. You know, what we don't see is the years of studying and rigorous work that went behind him being able to do what he does, right? Like, for example, you know, my mother, for example, is a teacher, and teachers always have this like really, really disappointment, I would say, in society, because society does not pay teachers very, very much money. Right. Like society for like grade school teachers or middle school teachers, high school teachers, whatever it may be, teachers are known not to be paid very much money. It's like a very, very monetarily satisfying job. It's just something you do because you love to do it. And you know that educating is actually the source of how people get the encouragement and the education to do what they do. And so my mother always used to say that, like, you know, people, what they see only is like the 6 hours or 7 hours you are teaching class. What they don't see is when the students leave the classroom, you're still sitting there grading papers, doing lesson plans, planning curriculum for the next month, for the next trimester, the next semester, whatever it may be. And then you go home and you have to kind of put together some slides for tomorrow's lesson. Then you got to prepare for this lesson. Then you got to prepare for that meeting. And then you got to do this lesson plan. And then you got to grade those papers of those students who missed class. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that people don't see. So for human beings, especially when it comes to Islam, we have to make sure that we do not get caught up in the visuals, that we're not only seeing what's here. We acknowledge and appreciate that there are things behind the scenes that happen that nobody will see, you know, that there's so much beauty that happens in a person's heart that only a fraction of it is actually beautiful enough for this world to be able to witness. You know, there was a saying of a famous poet used to say that true goodness, true good deeds are so beautiful that you only see the percentage, a small fraction of it that you can visually see. The true beauty lies within the heart. True beauty of good deeds lies within the heart. The only beauty that you see is a small amount that you can see with your own eyes on this earth, because the beauty is too good for the eyes to see on this earth. It's too beautiful. So we always have to make sure that our sincerity is always very beautiful, right? And so there was another narration where, it was narrated that if anyone gives sadaqah the equivalent of a date, if anyone gives sadaqah the equivalent of a date, and y'all seen dates before, right? It's like, you know, it's a small little fruit that you eat during the month of Ramadan when you're breaking your fast, and it's tiny, right? In terms of its worth, it's not very expensive. It's a very, very small piece of fruit. And so this narration says that if anyone gives sadaqah the equivalent of a date from the earning that's earned honestly, and obviously there's a very big caveat that you cannot give from earning that's not halal, right? Like, we have to make sure that if we're giving charity, the source of that charity is something that's actually permissible, that's lawful. Because if it's not, then the entire goodness, the quality, the ihsan of what you're giving actually changes. And so when you're giving charity, the first thing that the scholars, they mentioned, make sure that you give from like a lawful source. And so this narration says that if a person gives sadaqah the equivalent of a date and Allah accepts from it, then even if it is a date, it would foster in the hand of Allah as one of you who fosters an animal till it becomes the size of a mountain. That a date, a person gives sadaqah the size of a date, and they make dua and they ask Allah to accept it, and Allah accepts it, Allah will foster that date to become even larger than the size and quantity of a mountain. Right? It's as though you give charity the size of a mountain, that your gold that you gave is the size of a mountain and not that small bit of date. You know, and it's a beautiful narration because it shows you that, you know, what we talked about last Wednesday, that truly, sincerely, quality will always triumph quantity. You know, you can tell when something is only valuable in terms of quantity. Quantity always goes away after a while. The popularity, the likes, the retweets, the followers, whatever it may be, goes away after a while. What lasts you forever is the quality of your deeds. And you want proof of that, I'll prove it for you. There's only a few deeds in your life, and it's narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's only a few deeds in your life that will continue to benefit you after you die. That will continue to benefit you after you die. What are those deeds? One of those deeds is your sadaqah jariyah. Your sadaqah jariyah, your charity that you gave that's ongoing, okay? And it may not even be that much money. You may have like given like $5 to like putting like a notepad in a kid's backpack for school, right? You gave $5 to put like a journal in a kid's backpack so he can afford a backpack to go to like Quran school or like Islamic school or something like that. And that kid ended up growing up using that notebook, that notepad to take notes. And he studied and she studied and memorized and learned and did all this good work. And they grew up to be something beautiful. And all of that goes back to the reward. Every little bit of ink that was scribbled on that notebook was all your reward. Why? Because you're the one that gave them $5. But in reality, it's worth so much more. Right? Another one is knowledge. Knowledge is another form of charity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that will continue to reward you even after you die. That will continue to reward you even after you pass away. That you're in your grave and your deeds are done. Khalas, it's over. But the knowledge that benefits that you taught somebody, that will continue to weigh on your scale of deeds until the day of judgment happens. Right? And so this is why we believe in beauty and quality, not just quantity. And another one is righteous children who make dua for you, that do good work in your name. It's all about quality when it comes to Islam. Okay? And so there's a couple of examples. There's a couple of stories that I want to tell everybody before we wrap up today. One of these stories actually involves a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar was the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And everyone knows Umar ibn al-Khattab, right? He was one of the closest companions of the Prophet ﷺ. But Umar ibn al-Khattab had a son by the name of Abdullah ibn Umar. And Abdullah ibn Umar was known. He was known for his charity. He was known for a couple of things. Well, he was known to be an extremely beautiful, prolific narrator of the Prophet's hadith. He would narrate a lot of hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But he was also known for his charity. So there's a story in the life of Abdullah ibn Umar one time where his wife had actually made him an amazing meal. Okay, so take this into context. Like, she makes him an amazing meal, right? She's a loving wife. He's a loving husband. He comes home one day and she has like an awesome dinner prepared for him. And the dinner consists of like a really delicate fish. Okay, I'm not only just narrating this hadith because I'm Bengali. I actually don't really like fish that much. I only eat like certain types of fish. My mom and my dad are the true like Bengali people in my family who like eat like every type of fish imaginable. Actually, my mom is like the big one. She eats like, you know, Bengalis, this is a tangent right here, but Bengalis eat this type of fish called like shukki. Shukki mash is like, if I gotta describe it to you guys, I'll describe it to you with one story. One time I came home from school and I saw like a Tupperware filled with something that looked like food that was like fermented. And I threw it away because I thought it was like old. I don't want to harm people. And my mom came back home that day and she goes, "Where's my fish?" And I'm like, "What fish?" And she was like, "The fish, like, where is it?" It was like right here on this, like in the fridge, like right in the opening part of the fridge. And I was like, "Oh," so I thought that was bad. Like, I threw it away. Like, it smelled horrible. And she goes, "No, it was good. Like, it just smells like that." And so like, that's just a random tangent. That's how much being like fish. Anyway, so Abdullah ibn Umar's wife, she made him like this really delicate meal, okay, and it consisted of fish. And so they sat down at the table one night, and a person known as like, fuqara, right, faqir, a person who was really, really in need, came to the door of Abdullah ibn Umar. And he knocked at the door of Abdullah ibn Umar, and his wife got up. And his wife answered the door, and it was a person who was begging for something. It was begging for food or money. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he tells his wife, he goes, give him the food that we were about to eat, give him the fish that we're about to eat. And his wife, you know, and obviously this is kind of like a spousal thing, right? Like, I made something really awesome for my husband. I really want him to try it. And I don't want to give it to anybody else. This is meant for him. This is supposed to be for him. And so she gets the person who's begging for food or money. And she tells him, she goes, "Hey, if I give you this amount of money, will you take it instead of taking the fish? I know my husband wants you to give you the fish, but like, will you take the money instead? Because I want him to really eat that." And so the beggar was like, "Yeah, that's cool, man. No problem whatsoever," right? Like, the beggar is going to take the money, go buy some food for himself, whatever, right? And so deal is done. Abdullah ibn Umar comes to the door and he sees that the beggar, the person in need, has accepted this money. And he looks at this person, he looks at this man, and he goes, "Are you satisfied?" He goes, "Are you satisfied with the amount of money that you've been given?" And the beggar, he goes, "Yeah, this is awesome." And he goes, "You're good?" And he goes, "I'm good." And he goes, and he looks at his wife now, and he goes, "All right, now you give him the fish." He goes, "Now you give him the fish." Why? Because now it's considered sadaqah. Now it's considered sadaqah. Because that money was easy to give. That money was easy to give. That fish was hard to give because you wanted to give it to somebody else. You wanted another person to have it. So now that's considered sadaqah, because sadaqah should be a little bit difficult for you to give away. It shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be like, "Oh yeah, I got like $10 in my pocket anyway." True sadaqah is like those $100 bills that you're like, no, I need this, right? I was going to buy myself like an Apple Watch, right? I was going to buy myself like a new thing. I was going to buy myself like a new iPad. I was going to buy myself this. When you give a portion of that away, you know, Abdullah ibn Umar, he considers that true charity, because that is what's hard for you to give. That wasn't easy. That was difficult, right? So that is, you know, in essence, what the sincerity of charity really is to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. There's another really amazing story involving Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where one time during the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench, he invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come in and eat food during a time of like famine. It was like the winter of Medina and it was really cold and brutal. And he had a little bit of food that was enough to feed like, you know, 3 or 4 people. And he whispers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, I want you to come to my home and I want you to eat. We only have food for like 3 or 4 more people. So just you come and just a couple of more other people come." And so he goes back home and tells his wife, Jabir ibn Abdullah, he tells his wife like, "Oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming over. Let's sacrifice this like goat or lamb that we have in the backyard. It'll feed like 4 or 5 people and that's it." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he goes, hey, Jabir has food. Y'all, let's go. Everyone, let's go. To the door of Jabir's home comes like 700 human beings. And the wife of Jabir ibn Abdullah is so livid with Jabir. She goes, you humiliated me. You're mocking me. You're making a joke out of me. Now all these people are going to come over and now they're going to have food to eat. And you're doing this to, you know, you're doing this to like mock me and shame me. What are you doing? I'm so mad. You're like, when your wife gets angry at you, it's like the world ends, right? And you now like she threatened that like you're mocking her and making a joke out of her. It's like your life is over, bro. You might as well go sleep on like the garage floor or something like that. And so he's like, I don't know what to say. I told the Prophet to come by himself. I don't know. 700 people were coming with him. And so they all start coming with the Prophet. He goes, wait. Hold on 1 second. He comes into the home of Jabir ibn Abdullah and he sees the pot in which like they were planning to feed the guest from. And he tells Jabir's wife, he says, open the lid of the pot just a little bit. Open the lid of the pot just a little bit. And so there's a little bit of space for me to scoop food out from. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grabs like the ladle and he says, Bismillahir Rahman, Allah put barakah in this food to feed people. And he goes, okay, now 10 people come inside the home. So 10 people come inside the home. He scoops food up, puts it on the plate, gives it to somebody to eat. 10 more people come, food. And Jabir's watching, he's like jaws dropping. He's like, I only had food for like 4 people. This dude already fed 20 people. How's that possible? He goes, khalas, 10 more people. Come on, let's do it. Bismillah, 10 more people. Bismillah, 10 more people. Bismillah, 10 more people. All of a sudden, it's like 200 people, 300 people, 400 people have eaten from this small pot. How is it possible? This is, well, one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But one of the beautiful lessons from the story is that when you do things for the sake of Allah, for the goodness of everybody, even if you think it's impossible, Allah will make things possible. You know, you think that your charity will not help anybody. You think your $5 is like nothing when somebody next to you gave like $5,000? It's like, dude, why do I even try, right? Like, why do I even try? Why do I even try when this person next to me is going to give like $600? You know, is there anything that is valuable to my $1 that I can give? I might just psych myself out by saying I'm not going to give anything. But the reality is, in Islam, since when have we ever cared about the amount you give? In Islam, you always care about the quality of it, right? And so when you couple the quality with sincerity, you get a really beautiful product. And that's what we want to focus on. Is there a specific intention dua one needs to make when doing something good? Is there something specific? Good to the deed? That's a good question. One thing I will always say, you know, and this is something that's very important to me, and I think I always say this to people, is that whenever you're doing something good, I always tell people to wrap up, put a bow tie on your deed by saying, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Oh Allah, accept this deed from us. Oh Allah, accept this deed from us. Whatever I do, accept it for me. Because your intention, like we said, your sincerity can change, right? The moment somebody compliments you, you start to think to yourself, like, whoa, like, hold on a second. I'm better than I thought I was, right? And then, but the moment you realize that, no, it might not just be that simple, that just because I did a good deed that I'm getting a good deed recorded in my books. No. The writing in your book of good deeds depends upon the intention that you did that deed with, right? So it's always important to remember that. So inshallah, with that, we'll wrap up. And always ask yourself this question, a very, very fundamental question. We'll leave everybody with this question, something to think about until next session that we have on Wednesday is, ask yourself, is pleasing Allah more important to you than pleasing people? Is pleasing Allah more or less important to you than pleasing people? That's the question that we will leave everybody with tonight. And it's something to think about, right? Because easily we can say like, yeah, oh, sure. You know, like, of course, pleasing Allah is more important, right? But in reality, what do our deeds reflect? Do our deeds reflect the importance of pleasing people? Or pleasing Allah before other people, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who do deeds sincerely, who do deeds very, very in beautifully intention. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our private deeds more beautiful than our public deeds, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the deeds that we do ultimately accepted by Him in a form of goodness from us, and to mitigate and to erase all of our sins and shortcomings that we have in our lives. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan. Everybody, thank you so much for joining in on today. Inshallah, I will see every single one of y'all on Wednesday for the next session of our 5 series. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.